All right, Ray, 48 hours now until we sit down, around 48 hours till we're ready for our Thanksgiving meal. So I'm just doing water as I fast towards, so I'll have plenty of room available for the big bird. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our producer, engineer, Ray Allen. And we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, November the 24th, 2015. Coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, where we are all streaming our program at KVOI.com. And my show is available also at BuckmasterShow.com. Podcasts and our archive, always available for you at BuckmasterShow.com. As usual, we have a full hour for you. We'll begin with a conversation about the repopulation efforts of the bighorn sheep in the Santa Catalinas. Then Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley's going to give me a big, a sort of big, yeah, thumbs up for the market, which is doing pretty well today. 12:30 today, our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, joins us. Then we close out the show with the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report, presented by Fox Tucson Theater. The live line number, 790-2040. Our Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we are doing the Twitter thing slowly but surely at Buckmaster Show, kind of tweeting wherever possible. Let's welcome now Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity, that organization based right here in Tucson. Randy, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to see you again. And you are one of the members of this committee, the Citizens Advisory Committee, that has been advising the fish and wildlife people about the release of the bighorn sheep?
Yeah, Arizona Game and Fish Department decided to do this project a little differently and involve some conservation organizations and some sportsmen's organizations to work together on this project and reach some common ground and do it a little differently from how they've done
that it. Is different, where everybody kind of got on the same page, the conservation groups, the hunters.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's some big issues with this, mainly driven by the fact that it's right next to a major metropolitan area of 1 million people, which makes it very different from projects of this nature the way they usually are out in the middle of nowhere.
We have had three releases. Is that going to the most recent release? What did we put? 29 additional bighorns.
Yeah, just last week we completed the third translocation, and there were 31 the first year, and then 30, and then 29. This is the third one. And that was the original plan for three translocations over a period of 3 or 4 years. And now, really, it's mostly about monitoring this population and seeing how they do.
Where do they live in the Catalinas?
Mostly up in that really rocky, rugged Push Ridge area, up there in the Push Ridge Wilderness.
And they like the big rocks. And
yeah. bighorn sheep, they're very social animals. And what they do to protect themselves against mountain lions and other predators is they use vigilance. So there's always going to be one sentry or a couple sentries watching out for any approaching dangers while the others browse on vegetation and that sort of thing. They tend to hang out in family groups and they have a very strategic way of defending themselves.
Now, 60 of the animals, 60 of the 75 that we know of in the mountains of the Catalinas have collars. Is that difficult for the animal to be running around with a collar?
Well, the collar only weighs a fraction of what those big old horns on top of their heads weigh.
Okay.
So they're built to
carry. I would just think it'd be kind of uncomfortable, but I guess, you know, it's all relative.
Right? Yeah, well, it is probably a little bit of a disturbance to the animal, but the collars are designed to fall off after a couple of years, and then you know, that'll be it.
What kind of information is on? Is it sent back?
Well, they upload every day. They send a couple different signals. We get GPS locations. We get to learn what type of habitat they're using and what their movements are like. And, of course, there will be a mortality signal sent if one of them dies. And it's just really valuable information that helps us understand bighorn and continue to contribute to their recovery as a species.
Is this about where you thought things would be after three releases?
Well, we're pretty pleased. I mean, this project is definitely headed in the right direction, definitely moving towards success. This year, the adult mortality in the herd was within the normal range, and the lamb survival seemed to be about double normal. Based on a couple different metrics and observation techniques that were used. So it's clearly good habitat. You know, we haven't had any predations up there for nearly a year now. So the animals have settled into a very cohesive social unit and have regained their advantage against predators and seem to be thriving.
Well, that is very good news, and we, since we have you with us in studio, we'd like to ask you about the latest with the Rosemont Mine, the proposed Rosemont Mine, and we've been talking about this, I don't know, since what, almost 10 years?
It seems like longer.
For, you know, a long time. But anyway, the new owners, well, they're not so new really anymore, the Toronto, Ontario, Canada-based Hud Bay, big mining operation with operations. They're down in South America. And
Yeah, they have a big mine in Peru that they just brought online just recently, last year or so. And they got big operations up in Canada that they've had for many decades.
What are they going to do with Rosemont? I mean, we're hearing now that Hud Bay has sold off a lot of equipment.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want my shoot from the hip answer,
I do.
What they're going to do with Rosemont is lose their shirts, probably. But I think this is a very bad investment by this company. This is a mine that has been fraught with problems. The impacts are so complex and so egregious that I can't imagine it's ever going to get permitted. But, you know, and obviously we've been fighting against that for many years. You know, the threats to our air and our water and our tourist economy here in Arizona are huge, not to mention, you know, the damage it's going to do to the wildlife and the permanent damage it will do to our public lands.
And you wonder about jobs at this point when we had huge mining layoffs in southern Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, the current economy, the current copper market, copper is down at about $2 a pound now. I mean, adjusting for inflation, that's about as low as it's ever been. Hud Bay's stock value has lost half of its value in the last 6 months. I mean, this is a bad time for copper. And the reason, of course, is because of the overproduction that has occurred and the fact that the demand is just not there like they hoped it would be.
So Hud Bay has sold off $34.5 million worth of equipment that its predecessor, Augusta, purchased. Augusta Mining purchased and ordered for the mine. Did they give any reason why they did this?
Well, you know, in their quarterly report, they said that this equipment is no longer necessary to meet the design objectives for the Rosemont Mine. Hud Bay undertook a big exploratory operation up there after they took over this project to find out really what is there. We know that Augusta was a junior mining company, never had any intention of mining this themselves, and so they blew a lot of smoke at the mirrors and said a lot of things that probably just aren't doable. They proposed technology that's never been used in this climate before and all sorts of things like that. So I think Hud Bay is trying to get a more realistic assessment of what they have on their hands, and maybe they're changing their mind about what's going to happen with this thing.
They may just sit on the land.
It's true. It would be, I think, foolish. If I were a shareholder, I would want all those guys thrown out of the boardroom if they tried to construct a new mine right now in the current climate. I mean, it would be a really foolish thing to do. But and analysts say it could be several years before the decline in copper prices rights itself. So it doesn't look like anytime soon it's going to be ripe for development. But in the meantime, yeah, sure, they could sit on that property for a long time if they want to.
Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. What are the permits that we are expecting, perhaps in 2016, Randy?
Well, one of
permit decisions.
The
way I put it, making it sound like it was a done deal. Permits expected. Well, the permit decisions.
Definitely not a done deal, because as we know, any decision can be litigated. Mm-hmm. So that is another matter that's facing Hud Bay square in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fish and Wildlife Service has to issue a new biological opinion. What are the true impacts of this mine going to be for the jaguar that lives at Rosemont, for the fish and the frogs that live in Cienega Creek and rely on those areas for survival? Those are endangered species. There is a law protecting those species. It's one of the most successful and important environmental laws we've ever had. And, you know, the Fish and Wildlife Service has to uphold that. So they're looking at those impacts very closely.
There is a jag on the property. We're not talking about an automobile.
Yeah, although there might be one or two of those out there, too. Okay. But no, I'm a lot more worried about the animal, the beautiful golden animal with rosettes.
Who has been photographed in that area.
Yeah, right? He's been photographed more than 100 times there. In fact, he has a new name now, El
what
Jefe.
What is it?
El Jefe.
El Jefe?
Which is the boss. Ooh. Spanish for the boss. He's an apex predator.
Okay.
Nobody messes with a jaguar.
So you do think, though, he is settled in that area?
Oh, no doubt. He's been using that area continuously, more or less, for years now.
So. All right. Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity. Randy, good to see you again. Thanks for the update on the bighorns and perhaps what may be in store for Hud Bay or not in store for Hud Bay. But anyway, Randy, have yourself a great Thanksgiving. I know you're going to be doing a lot of cooking.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big feaster. It's
my
favorite holiday.
Do you put stuffing in the bird or do you do it separately?
You know, I always used to do that, but I find that maybe it'll cook a little fat. I'm going to risk it this year and see maybe if I can avoid burning it, but cook it a little faster without all that stuffing in the middle.
Yeah. All right, Randy, thanks. Good to see you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out of my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back, just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, "The 5-Star technician got me." Adios, cucaracha.
We're 5-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Sometimes opportunity knocks, You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Our recommendation here on the Buckmaster Show is that that consultation with your financial advisor should be Mr. Shelley Fishman. Hello, Shelley.
Hey, Bill. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Thanksgiving week.
And to you, sir.
And woke up this morning like everyone else, turned on the news, looked at the news on the internet, and I see these pictures of a Russian warplane going down in flames. In a northernmost part of Turkey.
Well, there's nothing like a NATO country shooting down a Russian war jet to create havoc in the marketplace. And European and Asian markets closed way down today. The Russian market closed down. And the U.S. market, though it started the day in negative territory, came back, and now it looks like it's flattening out as we get closer to the afternoon, as people begin to really understand the implications. I think I heard on the news just before I got here that the head of NATO expressed what you would expect, which is support for the NATO member. Putin was all over it, saying he was stabbed in the back. Not sure there's any truth to that, but it doesn't matter what's true and what's not true. What matters is turmoil affects markets. And, you know, you and I always talk about has something – the real important question, has something fundamentally changed when you're thinking about directions for the market? Now, today we had really good news on the economy in the third quarter, which was revised up. It had been like 1.7 GDP growth, and it's been revised up to 2.1. We'll have one more revision on the growth in the third quarter, probably come up a little bit more. So the economy is chugging along at a pretty decent pace. Unemployment's good and progressing. We're at a point now where it's almost full employment. It's not as highly paid as it should be, and a lot of people don't have the full-time jobs that we would like them to have. But nevertheless, the reason you talk about full employment is because it puts upward pressure on wages, and that should begin to move us toward the 2% inflation rate that the Fed would like to see. I believe the Fed is going to raise rates a little bit in December, and that I think is kind of built in. 70-75% of economists believe that right now.
When is that meeting? Early December?
Second week.
Okay.
You got me. I'm not.
Yeah, probably. Plenty of time before Christmas.
Plenty of time before Christmas. So all of that should be a tailwind for the economy and for the markets. And then you get something like what happened today on the border of Turkey and Syria. And you just understand that it's the unknown unknowns that can just throw economies into tailspins.
So you wonder now what Turkey or what Russia's role will continue to be in this kind of loose coalition that has de facto coalition that really has been forming here.
Well, the president today had a press conference with President Hollande of France, And he was talking about that coalition. He said, you know, the Russians have a coalition of two nations, Iran and Russia. The rest of us have over 60 nations in a coalition. You know, we probably need to get a little bit more aggressive in how we're dealing with it, but we have a plan. A lot of people don't believe that there's a good enough plan, but nevertheless, the incidents in Paris and now what's going on in Brussels, you know, appear to be moving things ahead more quickly than I think anybody intended. And this whole idea of what happens to the Syrian dictator, whether he's allowed to stay in power, those things will drive economic results over the next couple of months. And, you know, ultimately the markets aren't exactly tied with economic performance, but they do kind of leading indicator work for us. So I'm not yet ready to change my forecast.
That
for
was
the balance,
my next question for you. We're kind of running out of time.
We're positive on all the indices are positive right now. Mm-hmm. The unemployment number is about where I said it was going to be. The GDP number is coming in about where I said it was going to be. So the real issue is the S&P 500 and the Dow. So let's see. We're up 1 or 2%. We got 4 or 5% to go. We could catch that in a couple of days, mm-hmm. if things kind of stabilize.
That's it is happens. A good sign, isn't it, Shelley, that the market didn't react more negatively to this shooting incident?
I think it is, Bill, but trying to predict what the market does on a daily basis is such a fool's errand in so many ways, you know, that the market has been very resilient in the face of very bad news overseas, for the past 2 or 3 years, actually. So you don't know what's going to set things off. But when you look out 4, 5, 6 days and see how the markets react to news, then you can get a more meaningful trend information.
And the fundamentals, as you say, are very strong.
The fundamentals are very strong. Look, we'd like them to be better. I can't remember a time except maybe during the Clinton administrations when we were talking about irrational exuberance. Mm-hmm. But the fundamentals are, by most economic standards, very, very strong. And even if the intensity isn't where we'd like them to be, the steadiness has been really impressive. And this has been going on really since 2009.
It is time to check your portfolio at the end of the year. It's always a good time.
Absolutely. There are things you need to do in terms of making sure, for instance, if you're 70 and a half, that you've got your required minimum distribution taken care of. You need to make sure that if you've got some gains and some losses, that you analyze that to see what you can do about mitigating capital gains taxes. You also tend to need to look at, though this year it's not as critical as, say, it was 2 years ago, you need to take a look at the balance, the allocation in the portfolio to make sure that you're still allocated exactly the way you want to be.
And if you turn 70 during the year?
Okay, so if you're 70 and a half.
Okay.
If you turn 70 and a half during the year, you can either take your required minimum distribution beginning next year. In other words, if you've turn 70 and a half this year, then you're required to take it. And you can either take it the end of this year or you can take it by April 15th of next year. But if you wait till next year to take it, then you have to do two of them next year. So you might as well take it this year. It's not hard to figure out. You look at your balance of all your retirement plans that are in your name, IRAs, 401ks, et cetera, what that balance was on December 31st of 2014. You go to shelleyfishman.com, look at the calculator, mm-hmm. and that will tell you what your required minimum distribution is, and you file that with your broker-dealer. They will distribute the funds either to you or if you request, they can even transfer them to a brokerage account that's not a qualified account, not a retirement account, and that satisfies the need. And then your broker-dealer will issue a 1099 for your tax season for 2015. You pay taxes on the money.
All right, Shelley. It's looking like, of course, the international affairs where present a certain amount of uncertainty. But again, as you go back to say, the fundamentals are strong, which is good. If the fundamentals didn't look good,
we'd have a disaster.
And we had international problems as well. Well, that's a different
story. So the next couple of days, watching what's going on in the news, for those people who watch these things, is going to be very critical for markets.
Shelley, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too,
are you going to be in the kitchen?
We're going to be in the kitchen, and the guideline is 325 degrees, 15 minutes per pound, unstuffed.
Unstuffed. Okay, that was my next question for you. Do you go with the stuffing inside?
No, never. No,
all
it's
right.
too dangerous.
There you go. Thanks, Shelley. Have
Bye-bye.
A great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Okay.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Steely Dan bump music there, Ray. Very good choice. It is a Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Hello, everybody. Buckmaster with you on The Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Time to bring in one of our two dozen contributors to our program, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He is the former head of Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He is the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, even has a school that has been named after him. Dr. Hendricks was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Yourself?
Very well, thank you. And I assume you're getting your appetite ready.
I am. I heard all about the stuffing.
The stuffing. We got the stuffing debate going here on the Buckmaster Show. Should we stuff or not? And yeah, everybody keeps giving me the, nah, don't stuff. Anyway, Common Core, Diane Douglas, the school superintendent for Arizona, was on the show, and she was very happy that the State Board of Education went along and took her recommendation, at least on getting rid of the Common Core in Arizona.
But yes, and I'm perplexed by that decision.
And then what replaces Common Core?
Well, you know, the argument is that we don't need Common Core. We don't need a national curriculum. We're one of the few industrialized countries that does not have a national curriculum. And I just have to remind myself, this is the United States, and we need to be united, you know, in test standards as well, because the curriculum really ought to not be customized by state. It really needs to be a national curriculum. An American curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to gauge progress when you're looking at students progressing across the country, achieving, rather than looking at a state standard, which may not be comparable from state to state. I mean, to me, it's ludicrous to think that one would have a very unique standard of learning in Arizona that would be different from Texas or different from Arkansas or different from Massachusetts. It really ought to be the same set of standards. So now we're back to the drawing board. I have some questions as to how they're going to make this work. You know, we've already gone this route in Arizona with AIMS, and now we've moved to a new testing standard, AZ Merit. But the question is, how are we going to do this? It's going to be costly. We're basically saying the expertise that has gone into developing the standards and the tests that measure those standards is going to go out the window now, and I don't know. It's going to be costly, and I'm questioning its instructional effectiveness.
The new Secretary of Education, is he a big proponent of Common Core?
He is. He is. You know, Arne Duncan, who's the current Secretary, has probably had one of the longest rides as Secretary of Education at anyone. He's been with the Obama administration through the entire first term and now through the second term as well. But he is stepping down, and his undersecretary, John King, is going to be taking his place. Now, John King has a very interesting history because he was a former commissioner of education in New York, a very strong component of testing, and also a co-founder of a charter school movement in the state of New York. So he's being met with a great deal of suspicion based on his previous history in education, particularly by the teacher unions, who tend to vote as Democrats. And I think they're looking at this individual and saying, we're hoping this is a very temporary interim appointment because this man is not necessarily representing the direction that we want to go in education.
All right, let's go to the live line. We have Matthew as our first caller, then we'll go to Jim. He will be second. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to Common Core for 2.5 years now, trying to figure out how to pick one side or the other. Everybody's got good points. I think the answer on a go-forward basis is, you know, is to limit the time period for Common Core. It's the only way that you're going to, I think, save this program, both here in Arizona and maybe nationally. In other words, limit the time that Common Core is being used. I mean, we don't need it maybe through the high school curriculum years from 9 to 12. Maybe it should just be a focus for a period of time, say from 5 to 9. Maybe that's a way you could revisit, because otherwise I think Common Core is basically a mute issue around the country. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay.
Well, I think there are really two issues. One are the standards themselves, and then there's how do we assess those standards. And the standards really are basically what do we expect students to learn at each grade level. And that has been problematic because then you get into sort of the political arena, particularly when you start looking at particular ideologies or what people perceive as ideologies.
All right, let's go back to the live line, 790-2040. Jim, our friend Jim Kelly, wants to talk about state standards with Dr. Hendricks.
Hi, thank you, Bill. Good afternoon, Dr. Hendricks. I think what has upset me the most about the Common Core standard is how many lies were perpetrated about exactly what was the Common Core, which is language arts and mathematics. The mathematics themselves were being developed in the 50s, later codified in the early 60s at the University of Arizona. This was basic Newtonian mathematical concepts being taught in a manner that could be accepted by a large group, as opposed to the rote memorization of a multiplication table.
Correct.
And the same thing with the language arts. It was about whole word, whole sentence, whole thought within a paragraph, as opposed to just rote memorization of vocabulary words. And none of that was able to break through the inordinate amount of basic lies that were told. Anything objectionable in education what got labeled as Common Core. So that upsets me. But back down to what it is. It is a common assessment that was only supposed to be used for third grade, sixth grade, and ninth grade to assess progress. And it would be as a standard assessment across the country.
Right, it was a benchmark assessment.
A benchmark assessment. That was it. And as far as curriculum goes, any state that wanted to change the curriculum could, as long as it would get those children to the benchmark.
Okay.
And again, that was one of the big lies about the national curriculum. It was developed locally in every state. Diane Douglas said the other day that Common Core was not developed locally, which is incorrect. Every single state had local input into what that Common Core was going to be that eventually percolated into what was accepted at the National Governors Association.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Jim.
Go ahead. Jim makes some very good points. And there were a lot of people at the table, and I think there's always that argument, well, I wasn't at the table. But there's certainly, if you look at the list of representation at the table, statewide and nationally, the national organizations, people who have whose life is around mathematics or life is around language arts, lots of contributions, some very good minds. And not to say that we don't have good minds in our state, but to go back to the drawing board, I have a hard time with that.
And how many states do Common Core right now?
Roughly? Well, the number is dropping, surprisingly.
Okay.
There's some states that Arizona has joined, such as Indiana, who have taken a stand against Common Core. But I guess my issue is if you really pin people down and ask them, what is your main objection, it gets a little murky. I think, as Jim suggests, there have been a lot of falsehoods spread about Common Core.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much for being with us. Thanks, Bob. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Folks have a four-day weekend coming up here. Might be a nice time to, after Thanksgiving, or even Thanksgiving, take the drive 3 hours over to Silver City, a completely different area of our Southwest at 7,000 foot, 6 to 7,000 feet. Makes for delightful days and cool nights. So great place to get away. Check out their fine website of the many activities, the many places you can recreate in Southwest New Mexico and Silver City and Grant County. The website is southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay over there, like Pinos Altos Cabins. We'll be right back.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on Buckmaster is sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown, Fox Tucson Theater, presenting
Live entertainment, events, and classic films to kick off the holiday season. The Fox has a great lineup. Be hosting international singing sensations, the Ten Tenors, their Home for the Holidays tour. That's going to be on December the 8th. Then on Thursday, December 10th, the festivities continue with the brilliant soprano Jackie Ivanko performing her unique blend of classic crossover music, including songs from her newest release, The Awakening. And so we've got a lot coming up. Coming up December 8th, it is the Ten Tenors, Home for the Holidays, and then Jackie Ivanko performing on December 10th. To purchase tickets and view the full schedule of Fox Theater shows and classic films, visit foxtucson.com. Let's go to the live line now. Dan Gibson, our friend from Visit Tucson, joins us now. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving?
I think so, yeah. It's been a busy time around here. A lot of interest in Tucson right now, so it's a good thing for me. But I think Thanksgiving's under control. I feel confident.
We had, what, 7,000 bicyclists taking part?
9,000.
Nine.
Whoa. I was told it was 9. And about 45% of them from out of town, so... It's definitely a big event, and this is a great time of year anyway. As the weather gets less appealing elsewhere, people want to come here more, so we're welcoming them in, as many in as we can.
Yeah, and for those folks who are saying, oh my goodness, it inconvenienced me, I was stuck at a stoplight for for a long time, think of the money those people left behind here in Tucson, right, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. It's there isn't a hard number, but it's probably in the $10 million range of the economic impact of El Tour to Tucson. So it's definitely a beneficial thing. And it also generates gives people a sense of the outdoor lifestyle, the sort of place that Tucson is, that it's a healthy place. It's a place that people want to get out and do things. So it's a good thing on a lot of levels.
We have a four-day weekend. Most of us do. It's going to be a wonderful family weekend. What are we looking for in the way of arts activities?
So if I had one thing to recommend, I mean, I'll recommend a few, but here's the big one. Saturday, November 28th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., at 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Old Tucson, the Wyla Festival, 22nd annual, paying tribute to the social dance music of the Tohono O'odham people. You might also know it as chicken scratch music. It's a combination of norteño and polka and waltzes, sax, bass, guitar, drums, accordion. It's incredibly fun music. A one-time-a-year festival that you could hear a lot of this music being played. There will also be food from the Tohono people, barbecue. It's a great time, a lot of fun. It's only $10. So, I mean, you get to hear some local music and you get to eat. All that stuff is definitely positive. So more information about that, you can go to Old Tucson's website and find out all about the Wyla Festival.
Is this a new festival, Dan? Or is this
22nd annual Wyla Festival.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it's been around for a while. So, I mean, if you have not been, this is a really good time to do it. What else do people have going on Saturday? Watch football or something? I don't know. Get out and see some authentic music of the Southwest.
Very cool. What else is going on?
Well, if you have not seen the Western Heroes of Pulp Fiction exhibition at Tucson Museum of Art, that opened last month, but it's running through February 14th, so you've got a little bit of time. But you have to see this exhibition. It's sort of incredibly fun display of how the West is seen through pulp art. So you're looking at things like from Andy Warhol and Roy Lichtenstein to covers of Western magazines, like Thrilling Western, you know. You get to see these cowboys in action. It's when people think of this area, especially still overseas, they think of that sort of iconic Western imagery, and you get to see it at the Tucson Museum of Art. There's also a bunch of other great stuff there, but that's a real highlight of a show. And it's a fun thing you can take the whole family to.
Hey, I just had a thought. You know, you being with Visit Tucson, you were talking about the Old West. Do you get inquiries coming in from, I guess, all over the world, people asking, are there cowboys and do they have horses and all that kind of thing in downtown Tucson?
Less of it with the domestic traveler.
Yeah,
although
yeah.
Someone was asking me, they're like, so we were at Pizzeria Bianco with some journalists and they were like, so this is Old Tucson here, right? And I'm like, no, not exactly. I said there's some old Tucson around here, but Old Tucson itself is a movie studios. But foreign travelers, especially Germans and French, British people, they have a real strong affection for that Old West vibe. So you look at places like White Stallion Ranch or Tankerberry Ranch, they want that Dude Ranch aesthetic, and we're happy to give it to them, too. But we also try to show them a little bit of the modern city as well.
Okay, back to the arts. Anything else you would like? Go ahead.
If UA Presents has some great shows coming up, one of which is at the beautiful Fox Tucson Theater, Bad Plus with Joshua Redman. Joshua Redman's an acclaimed saxophone player. Bad Plus are a trio, piano, bass, and drums. They're coming together for they have a new album coming out, or that's out now, called Bad Plus Joshua Redman. It's a clever pun. If you enjoy modern jazz, you're not wanting it to get too out there, but a little modern flares to traditional jazz music. This is a great show. It's one of those things that, when you see it on the lineup, you're like, wow, that's coming here. It's should be really great. Tickets start at $20. So 20 to 45, it's beautiful. You get to see the Fox December 4th. More information about that at uapresents.org. And there's also a mariachi Christmas thing coming up, too, at UA Presents. So both of those shows coming up soon and can't miss, I think.
And what's the venue for the mariachi?
That's at Centennial.
That's a
Centennial Hall. So,
I like the fact they kind of move it around. UA Presents. It used to be, the home base was Centennial Hall, but now they move it around to the other venues.
Yeah, I think it's just trying to figure out the best space for everything. I say this, I'm on the UA Presents board. Full disclosure, but it's they have some things at Crowder Hall. They've had things at the Rialto. They've had things at Hotel Congress. But it's you want to get these great shows in, and you want to show them off the best way that possible. And Fox Tucson Theater is a beautiful venue in general, but it's really great for jazz. The acoustics really work very well. And you want that, with that small quartet feel, you want to have that great space. But there's some of the jazz festival events are going to be at the Rialto. So it's just trying to find the best thing where people can hear and experience the thing in the most vibrant way possible. And it's a great lineup of shows. So if you haven't seen what's happening coming up at UA Presents, check that out on their website as well.
Dan Gibson, I've got time for one or two more quickies.
All right. Well, here's a free one.
Okay.
So, it's not, none of this stuff is expensive, but, if you're looking for something free, mark down Thursday, December 3rd on your calendar, 8 p.m., free stand-up comedy at the Club Congress. I got three L.A. comedians, Dave Ross, Todd Masterson, Casey Lay. They've been on Comedy Central. They've been on wherever you see comedians. They've been there. It's 21 and over, so there's the catch. But you just walk up, just mark it on your calendar, show up at 8 p.m., and you get to laugh a little, so that's nice. Also, it's art-ish. The Luminaria Nights are coming up at Tucson Botanical Gardens. That starts on December 4th. They have it on the 4th, 5th, and 6th, then back on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Totally beautiful. What a nice opportunity to get outside and see the botanical gardens, which are beautiful enough of the day and really lovely at night. That's $18 for adults, $9 for children, and discounts if you're a member of the botanical gardens.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things going on. Of course, holiday-related activities, and when you see those luminarias, I would say it certainly qualifies as a work of art. They're just laid out so beautifully around the grounds there. It's really a nice way to just get into the holiday spirit.
Yeah, exactly, and you get to experience, you get to be outside during the evening, which is not something a lot of the country gets to do. So put it on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever you're doing, make sure people know what temperature it is and that you're doing something outdoors during the winter.
Okay, Dan Gibson, I hope you and your wonderful family, the lovely family, the Gibsons, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm sure your kids are really excited, too.
Oh, they're excited to eat, for sure. I pass that back on to the Buckmasters as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Dan Gibson with us with our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on our program, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Tucson Theater, presenting live entertainment events and classic films. December 14th, the Fox presents the Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas Rocks Tour. Then on my birthday, December 16th, the holiday entertainment continues with renowned Grammy and Country Music Award winner Leanne Rimes. And her show is the Today is Christmas Tour. That's going to be a real fun tour at the Fox. To present and to purchase tickets to enjoy the holidays at Fox Theater, See the shows like the 10 Tenors Home for the Holidays tour on December the 8th, Jackie Ivanko on December 10th, the Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas Rocks tour December 14th, and Leanne Rimes. Today is Christmas tour. That's December 16th. Visit foxtucson.com for more information. All right, that's going to wrap it up for our Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back tomorrow with our Thanksgiving Eve program on Buckmaster. But this afternoon, it's 4 Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen with that program, 4 to 5. Tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, The Daily Double with Christy Simone. And then Sean McCluskey's Talk of the Town show from 9 to 10, our friend Jim Kelly will be sitting in and hosting as Sean heads up to Las Vegas for the holidays. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. We wish you a pleasant afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.